We're going to talk about faith today. That's one of the main things we got to have to get anything done, is faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now then, what if you don't have faith? You're not going to overcome the world. You're not going to overcome the problems. And I guarantee the problems are out there. There is a lot of problems out there. Let's go to Hebrews 11:6, and then we'll go back to Hebrews 11:1. But we'll go to Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, if faith is what overcomes the world, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him or God. Now, today, so many people in the world don't believe that there is a God. They just don't believe that there really is a God. I mean, I read an article just this week about a man that was a supposedly Christian preacher of a big church, and somebody had convinced him, and he has now completely turned his back on God and become an atheist. He said he don't believe nothing. And I thought, you know, that guy really never knew God in the first place, did he? I mean, he might have been a pastor of a big church and everything else, but obviously he never saw God do anything. And so to not ever see God do anything, he must have not been a Christian. Because if you know God, you're going to see Him do something for you, aren't you, Scott? Oh, you know that. You've seen Him do some awesome things for you, and I have too many. But then let's go to Hebrews 11:1, and let's see what it says, the description of what faith is. Hebrews 11:1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now then, everybody wants to have the kind of faith where you can see it first. I mean, you have no idea how many people have come up to me in a healing school or wherever, or when I've prayed for them, and I will show them, we'll find their sin, we'll get them to confess their sin, and they will take a great and awesome promise. You know, like Matthew 18:19. Let's go to Matthew 18:19 and let's look at this awesome promise. Now, this is a guarantee from God, but look at what it says. Now, this Jesus is talking here. He says, again, I, Jesus, say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. I'll take a promise like that, and I'll say, now we've got your sins repented of. We're going to take Matthew 18:19, and we're going to pray the prayer of agreement, and we're going to ask God to do this for you or whatever. For it may just be a job, you know, they need a job. So we say, Lord, we ask you, and like that young man that was here the other day, we prayed a prayer of faith for him. He's been out of work, he needed work. I got him to repent of his sins and to believe that God was. And I said, Lord, I ask you, according to Matthew 18:19, I ask you to give this young boy a job and give it to him quick. He needs one. He left here that afternoon, and before he got to paradise down here, his cell phone rang, and a guy offered him a job, and he took it. He just was awestruck. He called me the next day after he had his job. He said, this faith stuff really works. I thought, wow. Yes, it really works. It really works, or it doesn't really work. You know, when I think about faith, I mean, I always, especially when I look at Rosemary, I think about the faith she had here a while back whenever this grandmother called. This is such an awesome story. I mean, if she got to be the recipient of this, she got to pray this faith for this little boy. Somebody called one afternoon, and Rosemary happened to be answering the phone. And when Rosemary answered the phone here, she said, yes, the Living Savior Ministries, how can I help you? And the woman says, you know, my grandson, I think he was 6 years old, wasn't he, Rosemary? I think he was six, said he just stuck a pocket knife in his eye and has ruined his eye. And we got him down to the doctor's office, and two doctors have checked him, and both of them say the eye is ruined and he's going to have a glass eye put in tomorrow. And I want you to pray the prayer of faith that the surgery will go okay. Now, you don't tell a woman of faith that. I mean, not a real woman. Rosemary said, I don't pray a prayer like that. She said, my God's bigger than that. My God can fix that eye. And so Rosemary asked the Father in the name of Jesus to fix that little boy's eye. And when she got through praying, she said, now, Lord, tomorrow when they take the bandage off to do the surgery, I want that eye to be perfect. I don't even want a scratch on the lens on that eye. You said I could ask for anything in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm asking you by faith, it's done in Jesus' name. So the next day or two, whatever it was, they tucked the boy in. I mean, he was in the hospital. They tucked the bandage off of his eye. And when they did, the little six-year-old boy said, "Mama, I can see." And the doctor checked his eye. They got another doctor in to check his eye. And the guy that was going to do the surgery, he said, "I have no explanation for this. The only thing I can say is under complete checking the eye, I don't even see a scratch on the lens of this eye." Now, what did Rosemary ask for? Not even a scratch on the lens. Now, does our God, when we step into faith, does he do good work? I mean, he does good work. But see, it's by faith. Now, Rosemary didn't say, "Well, I hope he'll do this. Maybe if it's his will, he'll do this." She took with these great and awesome promises, and she stood on it by faith. Now, faith overcomes the world, doesn't it? It's the victory. So why can't we do this all the time? I can tell you what happens. You think you got this great faith, and I mean you're going to pray for somebody, and there's a little critter sneaks up beside you and says, "But what if he don't do it for you this time?" And guess what we do? Many of us back off and say, "Well, you know, now if he don't do it for you this time, you gonna look like a fool, girl. You know, you already kind of look like an idiot out there, but stepping out on faith. So you know you're really gonna look like a dummy when he don't do it for you." And he intimidates us, and we listen to him, don't we? And many a time, somebody will be there to pray the prayer of faith for somebody, and before it's all over, they don't even pray. I mean, you'll see somebody that'll have a problem, like the little boy, and somebody say, "Good grief, I know Jesus, I could pray for them." And they start over there, and they hear this little battle starts going on. And they get about halfway over there, and they think, "Maybe I better not go. I might look like a fool." He's good at what he does, isn't he, Bill? There's a man out in Odessa. He either calls me himself, or he has somebody else call me every once in a while. In fact, one day I was out there, and he told me, he said, "Thurman, next time you come out here to Midland, Odessa, to make movies or make TV programs, I want you to come by my office." I told him, "Okay, if I have time, I will." And so I did. We went out there, and I drove by his office. When I walked in, as soon as I walked in, he was dealing with a man there. I just said, "Well, I'll just say hi to you and go on and see you're busy." He said, "Oh, no. He said, "I want you to pray for this man. This man, he's a client of mine, and he's got cancer." So I got him to repent of his sin, prayed the prayer of faith for him, and God healed the man. You know, he healed the man. And then here a while back, his daughter come down with a hernia. And when she had this hernia, he said, "You got to call Thurman, have him pray for you." Said, "I guarantee if you'll call Thurman, he pray for you, guarantee Jesus will heal your hernia." Well, his daughter thought, "Daddy, you sure do sound awful sure of yourself." He said, "I'm telling you, when Thurman prays for people I have called, I always get my answer." And so she called me, and when I prayed for her, got her sins repented of and everything, she said, now all you got to do is believe. She said, "Well, I do believe, but said I have an appointment with the doctor, and I'm going to go have it checked anyway." I said, "But do you believe it's gone?" She said, "Well, the scripture said it's gone. Daddy said it would be gone. You said it would be gone, so I believe it's gone." So she got to the doctor, and they done the test, and she called me back immediately after the doctor's appointment. She said, "Mr. Scriver, this is awesome. I went over there, and that hernia is not there." So you think, what kind of a God do we serve? Is he a faith God? In fact, I'll just have to tell you about, since Kim and Scott know this gentleman, and Kenny was having to go in for surgery. And, of course, you know, he's Southern Baptist, you know, and so although they're telling him what they see happen here at the Living Savior Church, but he won't listen. He goes in, has his surgery. Well, he also is a good friend of Kent out in Hobbs that we saw the Lord heal his daughter. And, of course, after Kent's daughter, Bailey, which the testimonies are back there. If you haven't seen that testimony, Bailey's testimony, you need to get a DVD of it. It's sitting on the back shelf back there. And they're all free. I need to listen to her two-hour testimony with them and everything about how God healed that little girl at a healing school down in Brenham, Texas. But anyway, he's seen God do all these wonderful things now. And so while we're out there, he calls me. We finally went out there, I don't know, 8 or 10 months or a year later, whatever it was, to preach at Hobbs. And while we were out there, Kent had this surgery, and it didn't go very well. And they cut his esophagus, and it got infected. And so instead of going to Jesus, he went to the doctor. So then when he was in real bad trouble and the doctor said, "We got this major problem now," he called Kent and says, "Is Thurman out there?" And he said, "Yes, he is." He said, "Would you have him pray for me?" And so now that we're not here no more, he's here in Fort Worth, we're out there in Hobbs, and Kent calls me and he says, Thurman, will you pray for Kenny Davis? I said, come on over here. I said, we're right here in the hotel right now, fixing to go about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I said, we're fixing to go have a bite to eat. But I said, come on over and we'll all pray. So he came over and we met right there in the lobby of the hotel, all of us, with him. And we prayed the prayer of faith for him. And I said, now that you're standing in a gap for him, I guarantee the king has heard our prayer and he is healed. Well, he went, and the next morning, Kent called me and said, Thurman, you have changed my life forever. I will never be the same. He said, do you know that yesterday when we prayed, this morning I called Kenny to see how he's doing, and he said he was miraculously healed. And I think, wow, do we serve an awesome Jesus? I mean, now how do we get this done? By faith. In who? In Jesus. By faith in Jesus and his holiness. Now then, let's see some of these great and awesome promises we're talking about here. Let's go. I want to just start in Romans chapter 3, verse 8, and I want to see how far we can go, because we're talking about faith in Romans chapter 3. So that sounds like a good place to go, someplace where faith is being preached, right? So let's go into Romans 3, 8, and let's see what happens there. Bring the NLT up, and let's just use it. It's a real easy to read, Romans 3, 8, and yeah. If you follow that kind of thinking, however, you might as well say that the more we sin, the better it is. Those who say such things deserve to be condemned. Yet some slander me by saying, this is what I preach. Now, how does people get a hold of something like this? That the more you sin, the better it is. I mean, does people misunderstand what you preach sometimes? Oh yeah, yeah, they really do. And I've seen that. Well then, are we Jews better than others? No, not at all. For we have already shown that all people, whether they're Jews or Gentiles, are under the power of sin. Now, how would you like to know that you were under the power of sin? Now then, if you are a lost person, you're under the power of sin. And the majority of the world is lost, aren't they? Only a tiny little number of people are saved. In fact, Bill here was just telling me that tomorrow, where they're going to have a conference there, and one of the men he's going to see that's going to speak, and his name is Howard Pittman.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, This Faith Stuff Really Works, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.